as I was thinking about what to talk about this morning for just a moment, I thought, what better subject to talk about than the worship of God Himself? You know, when the devil tempted our Lord in the wilderness, He promised that He would give Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world if He'd do one thing, if He would just bow down and worship Him. But then Jesus, calling upon His memory of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13, said, "You shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." Worship is something that is the privilege of the child of God. And especially the first day of the week when we are able to come together, assemble, even like this. In John chapter 4 and verse 20, Jesus addressed the subject of worship when He said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshiper. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." There are three points that we want to make from this passage, and then we will be through today. You've heard them made before, because this is not an unusual subject to my preaching or your hearing, or for that matter, to other preachers as well. You've probably heard other preachers say much the same thing. I'm going to say today on the subject of worship. But because we were not able to meet last week and are able to meet this week, maybe this subject will touch us in a way that never has before. The first thing we'll say is that God is to be the object of our worship. You know, so many times in years past, there have been people who have worshipped different things. Some have worshipped idols. In fact, some have worshipped other men. But today we come together realizing that what we are doing is we are worshipping Jehovah, the God who created the universe, the God who made all things as we see them today. And what better day could we have to come together to worship God and acknowledge Him than to be able to lift up our eyes and see these beautiful blue skies and these wisps of clouds and know that there is a God on His throne in heaven. What a joy it is to be able to do that. I miss this. I miss this terribly. Now I want to ask you something. Have you missed it? I know you have, or you wouldn't be here today. You've missed it. And you're willing to go to great lengths to come, at even some slight risk of disease, to be here as we've come together to worship God. I was thinking about this morning as I was meditating, and I was thinking about how much I miss this assembly, how much I miss our being together. And I thought about, what am I learning by the fact that I have not been able to assemble with my brethren? What am I learning? Am I drifting further and further away from my people? Am I drifting further away from my worship of God? Am I studying like I do, like I should? Am I praying like I should? Do I miss seeing the smiling faces as we gather each Lord's Day to worship Him? And as we come together at midweek to study the Scriptures? Let me tell you, I miss Sunday nights, and I miss Wednesday nights as well. I miss being with you. And I don't think I'm alone. I believe you missed it too. And that's what makes us special to one another. This is a very special craft. And I want to suggest to you this morning as well that I think this makes you special to God. I think this makes you special to Him. God must be the focus of our worship. He created all things, and He sent His Son Jesus into the world to redeem us from all sin. Our worship to God, according to John chapter 4, is to be done in spirit. Now, in context, Jesus is showing the Samaritan woman that true worship would not be oriented to a single particular location like Mount Gerizim or Jerusalem. But it was going to begin with the heart, with the intellect, the will, and the emotions. In the New Testament, it's not where you are in the sense of the text in John 4, but the condition of your heart that makes your worship acceptable to Him. Still, when it comes, we come before God, there are attitudes that we have to have, attitudes that are right and good. We've got to have an attitude of reverence and awe for coming into the presence of God. It's almost as if we can look up and look into the face of God Himself. And when we do that, it should make us want to fall to our knees or even maybe prostrate on our face to the ground because of our sense of reverence and awe before Almighty God. We've come together not just to see one another, although that's good, but we've come together with the purpose of praising and honoring Him. That's what worship is all about. We've come together to submit to the will of God. I was thinking about this. Do you know that there is no specific command in Scripture to assemble? Did you know that? Have you thought about that? Not in the New Testament. Now, before you hasten to come to a wrong conclusion, I want you to think about this. There are things that we are commanded to do when we assemble. The point I want to make is it's not just the act of assembling is not worship. But what we do when we assemble, that is worship. And that is what we are commanded to do and the setting in which we are commanded to do it. So that's why we're here this morning. That's what drives us to come and be here. It's the determination to use our bodies and our minds to serve and to worship in this wonderful kingdom of God. You know, the key concept that we need to see here is wherever we may assemble with the local church to worship, wherever that may be, that our worship must be genuine and sincere. We must mean it when we sing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." We must mean it when we sing, "In the cross, in the cross," and think about the sufferer. We must mean it when we sing songs like, "Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer," or, "Lord, we come before Thee now, at Thy feet we humbly bow." These are songs that have an important meaning to each and to every one of us as we confess them before God. Satan wants, our worship to be meaningless. He wants our worship to be distracted worship. And you know, it may be that the circumstances that has presented themselves in this present distress, this coronavirus, COVID-19, maybe that hinders us a little bit from concentrating. But maybe it helps also. It's imperative that coming together today, we not think about the extraneous, but we think about our worship to Jehovah and concentrate. This is not some drive-in movie, and I'm not Matthew McConaughey. We're worshiping Jehovah, the one true God of heaven, the sovereign of the universe, and His Son Jesus Christ. And I'm only an earthen vessel struggling to help us concentrate on Him. Neither are we to mindlessly follow some ritual, a meaningless ritual. We do what we do today because God has told us to. It's that simple. And doing what we do today impacts our hearts and recreates us into the image of Jesus. Maybe the reason why we are losing so many of our children to the world and false religions, the reason why we're not as effective in evangelism as we need to be, it may lie in the fact that our worship has become routine. It is true that there are some things that God meant to be written, that we are to do some things on a regular basis. But that does not mean that they are not to be meaningful to us, because they are. There are a lot of routine things that we do that are extremely meaningful. Our worship to God must be worship in spirit and in truth. In truth. There is a pattern we follow. There are things He has told us to do. We have partaken of the supper. We've talked about passages that teach us so. The disciples prayed when they worshiped together, and so we do. The Christians sang when they came together, and so do we. teaching was done in their public assemblies, just as teaching is done in our assemblies. Christians sacrificially give, as you have sacrificially given this morning already. If we do not do what God has told us to do, then maybe our worship is in vain. But if we do what God tells us to do, and with the Spirit with which He tells us to do it, then perhaps, just maybe, our worship will be meaningful and they will come before Him as a sweet-smelling savor, as sweet as the incense that arose before the tabernacle. Every sincere Christian should periodically reflect on ways to improve his worship. And anything we can do to draw us nearer to God is something that we need to do. Will you bow with me while we pray? Almighty God, we are so thankful to be able to come before You on such a beautiful day, to be able to open our eyes and see You in the world that is around us. May You be honored as we do the things that we do today. We pray that You will cleanse us from every sin that is standing between us. And we pray, Father, that You will bless these people who have assembled here and others of our number, that we might be protected from the secret enemy that threatens so many today. May we stay healthy, Father, if only but to serve You and to honor You in the things that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jeff, for the time, and lead us in the song "When We All Get to Heaven." And at the conclusion of that song, I'm going to ask him to lead us in a closing prayer. "When We All Get to Heaven." We all know that song, so let's sing it with fervor.